Welcome, everybody. Welcome back if you're rejoining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm joined for this next half hour by my colleague here at Civic Media, Greg Gunderson, for a segment that we usually call What's Going On in Your Neck of the Woods? But today, it's all of our necks in all of the woods being implicated by what I am going to call Donald Trump's reign of terror by error. I got to come up with something that rhymes that means corruption too, to add it to the mix. If you haven't been plugged in all day long to the news, Mike Wall's out as National Security Advisor. Secretary of State Marco Rubio in. Mike Wall's also being promoted to Ambassador to the UN, which will require Senate confirmation, which is going to make for a very interesting Senate confirmation hearing, given that Mr. Wall's will need to be sworn in and will undoubtedly be asked a whole slew of questions about Signalgate 1.0. In addition, the same federal court judge today, Judge Rodriguez, in the Southern District of Texas, who is appointed by Donald Trump, has ruled in two different orders relating to Donald Trump's invocation of the Alien Enemies Act to try to deport people to a foreign gulag to rot and die without any due process, concluding, unsurprisingly, if you've read the Alien Enemies Act, that it cannot be used during peacetime, that it requires actually an invading army, you know, foreign adversary forces or a war to be invoked. And since we have neither, it is therefore not constitutionally usable to try to deport huge numbers of people, including citizens. Errors happening every day in this mass performative deportation effort. And also ruling that folks wanting to challenge their potential deportation can do so as a class. They do not need to proceed individually. Now, what's interesting is that because of the Supreme Court ruling a few weeks ago, about a month ago, maybe give or take, 9-zip that required due process for people being deported under the Alien Enemies Act, that ruling also required that those cases had to be brought in each individual federal court jurisdiction that oversees, or the jurisdiction in which the person who is proposed to be deported currently sits. So you have to bring those cases in numerous federal courts. So that ruling from Judge Rodriguez, the Trump Judge Rodriguez today on both of those issues, the class being approved and saying you cannot use the Alien Enemies Act to deport people, that's going to have to be decided by other federal courts. His ruling, most importantly, applies in the Southern District of Texas, from which a lot of these deportations were occurring. That's why his court was one of the first and the first to rule on this. And just another little tidbit of info. The last person to serve as both National Security Advisor and Secretary of State was Henry Kissinger. Whatever you can say about Marco Rubio, he is not Henry Kissinger. Whatever you might say about Kissinger, he ain't Henry Kissinger. This ain't good. This is bad, 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 bad. Very bad. Gray, from your neck of the woods, what did you make of all of this incredible news today?
I'm just shuddering at the fact that we're using Henry Kissinger as any sort of bar for anything at all. I'm not grateful anybody passes away, but the wasn't missing that that was relevant. We're so far into uncharted territory that it almost feels familiar. We're in paradoxically unfamiliar territory at this point. Like, that's one thing that I'm growing to appreciate, Maggie, is that information that was freely given is no longer seen as freely given. And I don't think I've seen that said out loud yet. Things like whether Marco Rubio is occupying the position as an interim person, or is he actually, like, that's something that without even thinking, the Biden administration, other previous administrations would have said, yes, we're naming an acting or interim individual. That label has not been used. And yet at the same time, I wouldn't be surprised if 2 weeks down the road, Rubio is no longer in that position and someone else is. And if there was some clarity behind who that person was, that might reveal some things to us.
It's an interesting, somewhat technical point, Gray, but I say it's interesting because back in Trump 1, one of the things that legal scholars and those that watch these things very carefully were concerned about was Trump's overuse of acting in interim appointments to get around the confirmation process. Isn't that quaint? It's like as we've slipped further and further down this terrible existential rabbit hole, I keep thinking back to myself, oh gosh, remember when we were really worried about Scott Pruitt running the EPA and the fact that he wanted a skiff built in his office? I called it the Superman phone booth. Oh, wasn't it cute that what we were worried about was Donald Trump paying off a former porn star so he didn't get in trouble with Melania? Like when these were our greatest concerns, Donald Trump's overuse of interim and acting appointments to get away from the Senate's confirmation authority. Here's the other thing I wanted to ask you about, Gray. Now we're going to go to the phones. You want to join our conversation this half hour? You are more than welcome. 855-752-4842. Over the last couple of days, there have been markup committee meetings in the House of Representatives. Markups to the House's budget reconciliation bill, which proposes to cut $1.5 trillion from the federal government. A huge chunk of that, more than half, being a mandated cut of $880 billion that has to come out of the House Energy and Commerce Committee, which would result by mathematical necessity, because Republicans, despite what they may try to do, can't actually make up new math, though perhaps I'll just wait until tomorrow and that'll happen too. It is going to result in existential cuts to Medicaid. They're going to say, oh, we're not cutting it, we're just changing the eligibility criteria. Right. But it will be massive cuts to Medicaid. The reconciliation bill moving through, the House Republicans put in a bill or a portion in that budget reconciliation bill to literally prevent federal courts from entering contempt orders. Right. So further insulating the president, further reducing the power of another branch of government, further surrendering their own power. And in response to every single amendment introduced in various committees by Democrats, Republicans in the House said not a word, not one thing. And they voted down over the last 2 days every single amendment unanimously without saying a word. It is a complete and total abrogation of all of their duties as a separate but supposedly co-equal branch of government. The Senate yesterday failing to even pass on a tie vote of 49-49, a bill which would have surely died in the House, but would have ended Donald Trump's declaration of various emergencies, of which he has declared 8, somewhat constitutionally suspect, in my opinion. But Gray, what do you make of the overwhelming silence from congressional House members as they contemplate a tanking global economy, a likely recession, and huge existential cuts to Medicaid?
It's well, I mean, not surprising that it's what scares me the most, but I think all of the above are marks of what Donald Trump and his team were up to while Joe Biden was in office. Yes, he was spending a lot of time on Twitter and at Mar-a-Lago, but he was also putting other people in charge of planning things. You want another mark of the planning that was done? How many press secretaries did he go through during Trump 1? And here we have the one, Levitt staying. I would put money in Vegas that Levitt stays throughout the entirety of Trump 2, whatever length that has.
And well, because she'll say anything and she's pretty. She got the memo on the blonde waves and the cross. You know, it's like
they held auditions.
No. Right. Check. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All the green checks in the boxes. But like, I think this, I mean, and not to diminish the seriousness of everything else. I think what we're seeing here, I mean, I hate to go back to it because it's supposed to be a mark of us being fools that we even acknowledge the phrase Project 2025. But wouldn't it be incredible if there was a streamlined plan to do exactly everything that we were warned and warned others about? And oh my goodness, aren't we following it exactly?
Well, the thing that blows my mind especially is right now the overwhelming silence from both former national security and defense officials and the overwhelming silence from CEOs and business leaders. Shame on you. Now is the time. Like, the emperor has no clothes, not a whit, not a stitch on. And like, the world is literally burning. Now is the time to find your spine, stand up no matter what the personal cost, and make your voice heard. And I'm going to tell Let me go to the phones because I promised everybody I would tell them what congressional Republicans are afraid of. And here's the hint here. It's not Donald Trump. The reason that they have been uniformly and unanimously silent over the last couple of days is because they are very afraid. And I'm going to tell you who they're afraid of in just a moment. Betsy from Fort Atkinson, say hello to Gray. What would you like to share this afternoon?
Hey, Maggie, you remember me?
I don't know if I do, but it's nice to see or hear you again, Betsy. Thanks for calling in.
Yes, good to hear you, Maggie. You have a great show. Yeah, I'm usually Betsy from Madison.
Oh, Betsy from Madison. Today, Betsy from Fort Atkinson. Well, thanks for calling in. What would you like to share?
Yeah. I'm just terrified. And Trump was a dictator his last term.
Yes.
And I would call the White House, and I said that, and they hung up on me. Yeah. I just don't know what we're going to do.
Betsy, here's what I'm going to tell you. You keep paying attention. You keep raising your voice. You keep voting. You keep having the uncomfortable conversations in your houses of worship, your corner taverns, your grocery stores, and share your concerns with those that you love. This isn't about right or left anymore. It's about right or wrong. I've been calling it the Trump reign of terror by error. We've got some great submissions on the text line. Dan from Wausau calling it the corruption eruption. We got to take notes, folks. Maybe we'll have like a t-shirt off. Whoever comes up with the best tagline for whatever the hell this is, which is not functional government or functional democracy, will win a prize. Maybe we should do this. This would be fun. Dan from Wausau calling it the corruption eruption. Scott texting in from WMDX saying he calls it the philandering felonies, felonious felonies and failure. We'll figure out what that is. I love it. Thanks, Scott from WMDX. John from Madison saying, Maggie, if the Tren de Agua gang invasion is the war, then let's go after Trump and his minions for war crimes. He's declared it and is now sending kidnapped POWs to death penalty gulags. Certainly sounds familiar. The other thing that I wanted to share was this. While they want to cut $880 billion from the Energy and Commerce Committee, requiring a $600-plus billion cut from Medicaid, here's what House Republicans also snuck into their budget reconciliation bill. One, further giving Donald Trump free reign of terror by error, restricting courts from entering contempt orders, trying to sanction the Trump administration. They also stuck in nearly $1 billion for what? One-time bonuses for people effectuating immigration raids, which will equate to approximately $40,000 per person. I want you all to absorb that one with me. Pay to play, anybody? Payment to keep your mouth shut? Perhaps. We're going to go back to the phone lines after these brief messages, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. And right when we come back, I'm going to tell you who House Republicans are really afraid of, and it ain't Donald Trump. Keep it locked right here with Greg Gunderson and me, Maggie Dawn, on The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network.